All right. Well, we're going to get started this morning. We're thankful that you're here. We appreciate all the wonderful worship. Thank God for His goodness and what He's doing in our life. We've been in a series now for quite some time. You'll be hearing this over and over again. We're studying every word that Yeshua ever spoke. Every word. And right now, we're on the words from Matthew 6 to 10, the famous model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And then 633, which talks about seek ye first the kingdom. So this is important words that he spoke. Important for our life. We want to be attentive to the words of Jesus. They're valuable to us. We need to understand them. So if he says to pray thy kingdom come, and if he says to seek first the kingdom, hence the kingdom addition to this part. So we're going to try to get through part one today and maybe touch on a little bit on part two. We'll see how far we go. But there's three parts to this, and it's going to take us some time. Our feast days are coming up, so we're going to be out of doing the kingdom until probably after that's over. So today, where we left off, I backed up just a little bit. We're talking about why is the kingdom coming? We're answering that question, why? So we talked about what is the kingdom. Now we're talking about why. There's a reason for it. How many know he wants us ready for this kingdom? Because we can't leave it like it is. Although we might have good times in the world we live in, how many experienced a bad time in this world? Things are not going well. There's a lot of stuff not going very well in the world. So we're going to look at why is the kingdom coming? We're talking about the kingdom of God and what he has supplied for our lives. It's valuable to us. He wants it in our life. And we know that Yeshua, the Son of God, he came to give his life for the whole world. What does that tell us when we read that in the scripture? When we look in the Bible and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we think about that. We think about the word perish. So he's trying to give us safety from something. That something is to perish. Now, I don't want to perish. I'm sure you don't want to perish. Yet we live in a world that happening every day. So what's the remedy for it? Well, he sends his only begotten Son. He loved the world. Let me tell you, God loves the world. He's not against the world. He loves the world. But the world is tainted by sin and transgression. So we've been going over this kingdom. When God first started everything in creation, he created a world or a kingdom that would last forever. But because of disobedience, man's disobedience, it fell. And there's trouble in the world. And we still have that trouble today. But in the process of that fallen system, God sends his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God could be fulfilled in us. And so we're in the process of that happening now. But we submit to his word. His word is of value to us. God has a set of rules. And we talked about what is a kingdom. A kingdom and the value of what that kingdom is. In the kingdom, you're going to have a king and there's going to be rules. In order for it to be a qualified kingdom, you have to have people who adhere to those rules. They have to be subjects to the kingdom. How many feel like you're a subject to the kingdom of God? So it's a strange feeling because we do what we want. We say what we want, go where we want, do the things we want. We at least do that once we get older because we're paying the way. You know, when you're a kid and mom and dad's paying the way, what do they tell you? They give you rules, right? They're paying for it, so they get to set the rules. They might tell you you got to be in at a certain time, and you might ask, well, can I go to this thing? No, you can't go. You know, we never like that. Nobody likes that. You know, when you can't go and you want to go. But, you know, if you're paying for everything, you get to choose what you want to do. You got more freedom. You got more liberty. It's your money. And if you want to go and spend all your money, you go right ahead and do it because you're paying for it. It's your, you got kind of your rules now. Nonetheless, if you don't have any rules, you pay the price for that. You how many know when you spend all your money, that's called broke, and it's called paying for not having any rules. Save a little, but see, rules, savings, rules. Well, in God's kingdom, there's rules. You say, I'm just going to serve God the way I want. Well, you can't be a subject if you do it that way. Subject obeys his rules, his regulations. And he says that his regulations, they're not burdensome. Paul puts it this way. He tells us that the rules of God are good. They're righteous. So he's not out to get us, but to help us. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it's death. How many would hate to be on the road of seem right? I've seen a lot of people on the road of seem right. Matter of fact, everybody in this building's on the road of seem right. And at the end of that road, on your best day, you know what you get? Death. On the end of seem right. But he sends his son, and his son says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no man, woman, boy, or girl can go to the Father. Remember, the goal of the Bible is to get to know the Father, who he is. Remember, he tells us in the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Who's the teacher? Yeshua is the teacher. Remember, we're learning from him. He's our rabbi. We're learning from him. He says, when you pray like this, our Father. There's an inclusion there. He's not excluding. He's including. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. If we're praying for something to come, means it's not here yet. But Yeshua talks about that it's at hand. What at hand is an idiom. At hand is an idiom in the Jewish thought. It's at hand means it's near. You put something on your desk and it's at hand. It's at the end of your desk. Pretty much everything on your desk, it's handy. You don't have to get up to get it. It's at hand. It's close. How many understand that? How many know he wants us to be close? And that's a value to us. So I'm doing a little bit review because I want you to understand the kingdom of God is a value. I wish we could go back and start over, but if we did that, it would take us forever to get through this. So we can only suggest for you to see somebody in the back. They'll get a CD for you and go online and listen to it. And listen to every one of them. But you're missing something by not hearing them all because they go off of one another. So let's go back to this kingdom. So he sends his only son, gives us a way. We accept that way. And he's going to teach us by his life he lived, not just in word, by the life he lived, how to adhere to the Father's rules and regulation. How many know that Yeshua was a subject? He gave us everything that God desired of him to do. He did it. He didn't question him. He didn't debate with God. He said, not my will, but your will be done in my life, whatever you desire. And so this is a value to us. So I'll back up just a few slides here. Our Elohim sends his Messiah, son Yeshua, to put an end to Satan's rules and man's disobedience and to usher in a new world government run according to Yahweh's laws and love and nature, to save mankind and to release us from Satan's bondage and deception. And that's where we stand today. So how many know that Satan's rule is to get you to believe that you can kind of live your life, your own decisions, you live it out. If you think about life in general, it's very short. There's a short span. So say you live to 100. On the scope of our history, 100 years is not very long at all. Not very long at all. So that would be God creating humanity. He creates a species. that just lives 100 years and then dies. That's not very good planning. Why would we believe that that was the end of it? There was never an intention from God to create a species that would die. Think about that. You're not a lesser species. You're created in the image and likeness of God. But sin, because of a mistake, that someone missed the mark, when God set a rule and they broke that rule, sin invaded humanity. Led by Satan himself, the great deceiver, the father of every lie, invaded the lives of people. Invaded people's life. And you've been in the fight ever since. We've all been in this fight. It's the fight of good versus evil. And so what we want to do, rather than taking the time to really figure out what's good, what does man do? Creates his own good. Creates the very first response of man is to create his own good. Hence, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. It's man's way. It's to figure out what's good. It's better that I cover my nakedness. I hide what I did wrong. But knowing the plan of God. You know what God did? For the very first time in all of his creation, he walked into a field. And there was an animal. And he took that animal. And that animal was slain. And the skin of that animal was pulled off its flesh. If you those of you that skin animals before, you know what I'm talking about. In today's generation, it's the only animal they see is in a pack in Walmart. But if you guys that grew up in the country and you did that, some of you did it to survive. You pull the skin off of an animal. That animal is not alive. It's dead. And then he took the skin of that animal and he wrapped man up. Wrapped him up. There's a reason he wanted him to feel and remember something died for you to be covered. But it's only temporary. Only temporary. Until a time comes, there'll be a time. I can't do it right now because I got to raise up a prophet among your brethren. I'm going to raise up a prophet. And in the meantime, I'm going to tend to your needs. And you, here's the rules. You follow these rules. But it was only till a time. Remember, Paul talked about, he said, we were under it. Like a schoolmaster, it was over us, it guided us, until, and then Christ comes on the scene. And then he dies for all of humanity, all the world. Those that were born way back in Genesis, all the way to a future event in our life. He dies for all of humanity. And he shed his blood on the cross. He gave his life for the whole world. Right and wrong. It didn't matter. Height, color, ethnicity. None of that mattered to him. Doesn't matter what religion you practice. None of that mattered to him. It all matters to us. We pick and choose and we get debate. We get very... We speak out when it comes to debate on what we believe, what we don't believe, but to God it didn't matter. I'm going to fix man right where they are. But there was a qualifying factor. The qualifier was we have to believe in what he did. We don't see this. Unless we see the entirety of the scripture, the whole scope of scripture is God starts with a kingdom. He starts with a kingdom and then he turns his kingdom over to man, Adam. And he said, it's yours. Go and subdue it. You run it. Because man failed, we had to have a second Adam. We had to have someone come in and represent for humanity. And Yeshua did that. He represents for all of humanity. And he is going to subdue the kingdom. He's going to get it right. Hence, pray, thy kingdom come. Remember he said these words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is near you. He talked all these terms. These were valuable to him. And so he's going to discredit everything that people in society, it seems like there's no winning this. Everybody's bought into, you can fix it yourself. We can fix it all ourselves. All we got to do is just think right and do right, and we can fix the world. You can't fix it. Remember, we're the reason it got where it was. So all of a sudden, we're just going to start doing the right things and fix it? We can't fix it. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And that Savior came into the world. He was born, raised among your brethren. I'm taking him from that lineage. And he lived his life, loved the world. And because of it, they crucified him and hung him out to be on display for all to see. Think about that. And then they took him down and put him in a grave. But the prophet said, 3 days, God will raise him up. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. And God did something. Ephesians 1 tells us what he did. He said he worked the work in Christ when he raised him from the dead. See, if that's the end of the story, we don't have nothing to preach about. But he raised him from the dead. Now what? And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and every name that's named. And gave him to be head. This headship is the order of the church. He said he's head of the church. And then there's been a transfer, as it were. Same thing he did for Christ, he wants to do for the church, his body. It's what he wants to do. And it's going to all come to fruition one day. What's that? How does that happen? What does it look like? Well, the Bible teaches us it's about a kingdom. It's about a kingdom that God will set up. And it's hard to get our mind wrapped around kingdoms unless you're from some culture that still lives that away. Very difficult. We think that somebody's over us, but in reality, there's nobody over you. We live in a republic, or should be called that. Some call it a democracy, a monarchy, which is in disguise of a republic. But there's no king. We all have free and fair elections. The majority wins. That's just the way it is. But when you serve God, what you're saying, as a person who wants to serve God, because you have the right to serve God, especially in America, if you want to, not to mention around the world. More countries are open to serving God than ever before. You have that right to serve God. And if that right was taken from you, deep down inside, no one can ever take away from the decision you made to serve God. People's done it for thousands of years. You can serve him. So what you're saying is, God is my king. He's the ultimate source of the rule that I live by. And I'm a subject to the king. I don't question the king. I believe every decision he ever made was for my benefit. According to what I read, he's not out to get me. He's not out to harm me. The way that seems right to man, the end of that is death. But the way God puts for me is eternal life. Now, if I told you today that there's, you can have eternal life, who wouldn't want that? That's what we seek. We want to eat right. We want to do right. We want to live as many days as we possibly can. And remember, we talked about maybe at our best we get 100 years. Wouldn't that be fun? Depends what ails you to make it fun. Because if it ails you a lot, you might be saying, Lord, take me. Or somebody take me. Think about it. It's just the way it is. Life can be very, very hard on you. It can be brutal. So we think, well, serving God is just so hard. Let me tell you why it's hard. Because we don't read what the prize is. What's the prize? Yes. Kingdom of God. Every person in here, you're promised the kingdom of God. That promise is for you. What about this promise that's so wonderful? We're going to talk about that today. Why the kingdom? Because it's for you, not against you. It's to give you a hope and a future and expect it in. He's got plans for you, every person here. And so we have to allow Yeshua to put an end to the deception of Satan. Because I can tell you, it's deception. It's definitely been a deceiving thing that's attacked many people. And we want you to see that. So let me read just a few review slides here, and then we'll go from where we left off. Matthew 19, verse 28, and Yeshua said to them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How many see that? Valuable to our life. Revelations 20, verse number 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the old dragon, that serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Remember I said to you last Sunday, 1,000 years. Think about that. So let me go over here to the school kids here. So America's been around for how long? There you go. He's right. So we're not talking nowhere near 1,000 years. And just a few hundred years ago, we were skipping along in horses and buggies. And now we got amazing technology all over the world. Rapid increase. But if you go back 200-300 years ago, it seemed like we were stuck in an age that we couldn't come out of. It was stuck. For hundreds of years, stuck. No, nothing progress. We were sailing where we went. Now there's these massive ships, massive subs. You name it. We have the technology, but it happened in a very short period of time. I wonder why? What is changing? What is changing? So think about this. Can you imagine that all happened? Let's go back 1,000 years. It was almost primitive. And then we have this increase of technology in a very short period of time. And it was all under the rule of man that it happened. We would call that being successful. You know what God's trying to tell us? Can you imagine if God's Son was in charge over that period of time? The technology would blow our minds. Because he don't pick sides. He's not a Democrat or a Republican. You understand? He don't pick religion. He looks at every person as a human being. And his goal is is to be your king and treat you the way God's intended you to be treated. Because let's not forget, deep down inside, God comes in and touch our lives, and that makes a difference. We're not there yet, but we're in process. But on the surface, every person in here is biased at best. We have what we like and what we want, and we lean to the side that we prefer. That's just what it is. But the system that God sets up, he says, we take it and we read it and we see how fair across the board. He sent his only son to die. For who? For the world. No bias. You think Jesus died for just the Jews? He didn't die for the Jews. He died for the whole world. So what he's doing, this kingdom is not for a select group of people. It's for the whole world. So I'm trying to show you this, that this is bigger than just one person. It's bigger than one church. It's bigger when we look at overall the amazing thing that God has done for all of us. It's for all of humanity. And he talks about this 1,000 years, Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a little season. Now, in that process of our history, we go back 1,000 years. There's been a lot of stuff, wars and rumors of war, earthquakes, storms, pestilence, you name it. Good rulers, bad rulers, people we like and don't like. Amidst all of that, we advanced. Can you imagine when all that's gone, how much advancement? It would be amazing. And that's what he wants for us. The wicked will be subdued and righteous and peace will abound. Righteousness and peace will abound. Let's look at Isaiah 11. This is a key passage that we read this one many times because it needs to be emphasized. So I'm going to read it again in part two. Because it needs to be emphasized. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. Now this is prophecy from Isaiah prophesying about Yeshua coming and being born. Remember, he's going to raise up a prophet from among your brethren. He spoke that to Moses. He'll be like you. I'm going to raise him up. And he's talking about this in Isaiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. The word fear there is, again, it's not afraid in the sense that we know it in English. But it's a reverential fear. It's a respect. It's looking at Yahweh, God, the creator of everything, with a level of respect that you realize that you are the creation. I mean, you see, there's a big difference between creator and creation. And we have a level of respect. It's like respect for your parents. That's the level of respect you should have. You have your parents. You respect them. Because outside of them, you're not here. They brought you into the world. There should be a level of respect there, of adoration. In some cultures, there are certain words in speech and applying words together that show a certain level of respect just by the way you speak to parents. To grandparents, you don't use the same words as you would to a friend. Valuable for us to understand. We have to learn those are valuable principles for us. In verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. Shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. One of these, remember we talked about fear? Last week we was dealing with fear and how you got to be careful that you don't let fear come in because it robs you. And we're afraid of everything. So we kind of stay away from that because we don't want to emphasize fear too much. Yet today we're emphasizing that you have to learn the correct fear. Remember, learn the correct respect, reverential adoration. We're giving our praise, our thanksgiving. We're grateful. We're doing it. And it's with it, it has that word that we should want to do it out of great respect because we recognize who he is and where he's at. Remember, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. It changes your approach to God. We never come and talk to God like he's a buddy. I'm going to tell you, God is not your buddy. You can have a buddy. You can have a pal. But God's not your... You don't go and say, pal, I'm so grateful for you being my friend. You got to get your prayer right. Your attitude has to change. There's a big difference. He's not our pal. He's the creator of everything. He's God. Now, I can tell you somebody who wants to be your friend. Yeshua wants to be your friend. He wants to show you the way, the truth, and the life. You listen to his teaching, and you'll know how to have respect for the Most High God. You'll know how. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Isn't that amazing? What does man do? Man judges after the sight of his eyes and reproves after the hearing of his ears. Well, it sounds like to me you meant it. That's what man does. Well, I didn't mean it. It sure sounded like it. You ever walked in a room and somebody just... Because we judge by the sight of our eyes. Look at here. Look at this one coming. He's a piece of work. So you ask him, what his name is? I don't know. I don't know who that is. What are you talking about? He's a piece of work. Well, he just looks like it. We shouldn't judge by the sight of our eyes. You know what? If that would have been the case, when Yeshua looked at me, he'd have went, boy, that's a piece of work right there. I don't know what I'm going to do with this fella. That guy sinned. He transgressed my word. I'm talking about me, not y'all. See, I can preach this because I'm talking about me. He failed. He done all these things. He never looked at me like that. You know what he looked at me? He said, that is my Father's creation. And I know he's got a bunch of stuff on him. He done fell in the muck and mire of sin, but I'm going to get him out of it. I'm going to straighten his life up. I'm going to create in him a clean heart and restore a right spirit in him. That's what I'm going to do. That's what he does for all humanity. He wants to do that for every person. So you say, but I messed up. Welcome to the mess up club. We've all messed up. We've all come short of the glory of God. But what does God expect of us afterwards? That we respect him. That we do our part to respect him and make sure that we're pressing in. You know, I always say this, if you gave it some effort, you can serve God. If you just give it a little effort, because once you give all the effort you can give, the Spirit of God comes in and lifts you and elevates you, and then you're ready to go for your next step. Any person in this building, if you really want to, you can serve God. You can. You're trying to fix all the unknowns on day one. You can't do that. You can't fix the unknowns on day one. You got to relax in what you do know. And let me tell you what we do know. Though we have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. God give his only begotten Son to love me and to usher me into where? A kingdom that has no end. A kingdom that has no end. And there he said, and this is talking about Yeshua. It's a prophecy. He's going to know. He's not going to judge after the sight of his eyes, neither approve after the hearing of his ears. Verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Think about that. You smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Who does he slay? The wicked. Now, when does that happen? When do you become the wicked? When everything that God has done to save humanity has been rejected, then you fall into the wicked. You, no matter what he's done, to the point that he gave his only begotten Son to die for humanity, you still reject him. So the wicked will be judged based on their own attitude toward God. Think about that. I don't want to be the wicked. Do you? Verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. What he's telling us is going to be fair. He's going to be, we're talking about the kingdom of God. It's going to be a fair. It's not going to be unfair. You know, in our judicial systems today, there's a lot of things unfair. One guy gets by with it, the other guy doesn't, just because maybe they look different. But he says righteousness will be about as a girdle. He's not going to be unfair. He's going to be equal. This is talking about, we're talking about the Son of God in this kingdom. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, he's going to tell us what happens in this kingdom. Think about this. This is the difference. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now, think about that. The wolf dwells with the lamb. The leopard lies down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lean on them. Think about that. Now, that's a difference, because in the world today, it doesn't happen that way. It's, you know, eat or be eaten. That's how it is. It's the world of the fit, the strong, overpower the weak. In the animal world, you get terms like Lion King. Why is he called a king? Because nobody wants to mess with the lion. The lion will eat you. But he says, not in this kingdom. Why is it that away? Because in God's kingdom, all of that ends. That was never in the plan of God, but sin, when it came and separated man from God, and then we follow the lies of the enemy, we wind up in a world we live in. And no, you guess what? Guess what? But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because we can fix it. That's what they're telling us on TV. They're telling us on TV right now we can fix it. It's called the Green New Deal. Yes. It don't matter who's in office. It don't matter what country it is. Man, with all the smarts, can put all their minds together. They can't come up with no plan that can fix what's wrong with the world. Only God can fix what's wrong with it. And the way he had to do it, he had to give his only son to pay the price for it. And that's what he did. Now he's inviting every person here into the kingdom. He's inviting everybody. The kingdom, a place where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more wars, none of that, no illness, no sickness. That's what he's talking about. But we don't have this priest near enough in churches around the world today. We're talking about, well, we just need to go to church and live better. And listen, if we live on our best day, what good is that? We live better. We still have the underlying core problems that we can't get rid of on our own. We need a Savior. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. So what is he telling us? He said, I'm going to put it back to its original creation. He's not having to recreate because what he created was perfect. But he's got to put it back because it all went awry. It all went wrong fast. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The sucking child shall play in the hole of an asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Wow. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh like the waters cover the sea. So that hadn't happened. It hadn't happened, but it will. Now, what's going to be full of the knowledge of Yahweh? For the earth. Why? I always ask these questions. Verse 10. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So I want you to know that in this verse 10, that is what's happening around the world today. He said, for in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand up for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and rest shall be glorious. That's the stage we're in. How many seeking what we've been talking about? We're seeking it with everything that's in us. All will learn to worship the one true Elohim. And that's Yahweh, the one true Elohim, Yahweh. In Zechariah 14, verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Now notice there's very important terms here in this, that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacle. What they will go up and do? Worship the King and to keep the Feast of Tabernacle. That's going to be the third feast coming up. Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacle. So we're talking about after everything it's come, we're living in the kingdom of God, and he still says we should keep the feast. Wow. Maybe we should start now. Maybe we should start now so we're good in practice, because we know how to do the rest. We got real good practice at something he never qualified. But I mean, thank God you're getting qualified for what he said to do. Very important. So we keep the Feast of Tabernacle, verse 17, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So there's a consequence even then. There'll be no rain. So there'll be, he's telling us, now if it's impossible for there'll be an element of people that will resist doing it, that means they will be. There's no sense in this whole passage. There's an element of people who would resist to do that. And he says there's a consequence, no rain. So hopefully you'll see that. Micah chapter 4, verse number 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the tops of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow in, into it. And many nations shall come up and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Let me see that. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Until then, there's not a thing you can do about what people like or dislike. It's going to happen in the world. Because that's just the way it is. We're under the bondage of sin. Yet we've been given this plan. We've been given this promise. We can live a life for the Lord. Love him. And let me tell you, it takes love. Nobody just goes to church and wants to do, push themselves to serve God without love. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. You got to love him. In return, he loves us. When did he start? Before we started loving him. He said, you didn't love me first, but I loved you. Remember that. We didn't love him first. He loved us even while we were yet sinners. And it should be a pleasure. It should be something that we love to do as I serve him. Verse 4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his Elohim, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh our Elohim forever and ever. How many want to do that? You can. Not a person in this building is excluded from what I'm talking about. All of you can be included. Do you have to join the church? No. Do you have to come to this church? No. But you do have to submit to the Most High. You have to submit to his rule and his regulation. You have to be a subject of the King. And when you do that, you got to do it with joy. You got to do it because you love to do it. You want to do it. How do you get that away? How do you feel like you want to be? Because you recognize this is the only plan where you can live forever. It's absolutely incredible. I know people think in the world that they already got that plan. That plan already exists. All you got to do to get there is die. Think about it. If I tell you, I come up to you and I'm a salesman, and I say, hey, I got something for you. What are you selling? Well, I'm selling eternal life. Well, I want that. All right, die. You going to go right now? I don't want to die. Well, what if I told you somebody died for you? Is that a big difference or what? What if I tell you, you can have eternal life, but it takes death, and somebody died for you? You'd think maybe if you got any kind of hope in life, you'd want to know, who is that? Who is that person who did that for me? I want to thank them. I want to tell them personally how much I appreciate what they did for me. I get to live forever, and they die for me. You see my point? You want to serve God because he gave his only son to die for you. Now you've got access. You access the kingdom. And what happens once you do that? He starts to, because you're going to say, well, man, what made you want to do that? How'd you get to have that attitude? Well, when I was prophesied that I'd come, I would grow in wisdom. I would grow in understanding. I would grow in the fear of the Lord. He starts telling us what he did. Hence, we listen to the words of Jesus and we start doing the same thing. We start doing the same thing he did. The person who died so we can have life, he wants to tell us how we can live for the Lord in showing our appreciation for how good he is to us. Because truly and honestly, we all deserve to die a death with no return. Why? Because we've sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We don't look like his creation. We don't act like his creation. We don't talk like his creation. We do nothing that is lifting up of God. We've sinned and fell short of the glory. But Christ come, and he said, this is what you do. What I've done, you do the same. What does that make you want to do? You want to praise him. You want to go to church. You want to read your Bible. People say, well, man, that's why you got to be all religious? We're not talking about religion. If you want to be religious, go and be religious. Where does that get you? Nowhere. You just became something. You became religious. Religion gets you nothing. We're talking about not religion, but relationship. What about relationship? That's what we need. So we got to find somebody who's got a perfect relationship with God. Who has a perfect relationship with God? His son. His son has a perfect relationship. So now I'm going to start doing what his son did. I'm going to start copying what he did. It's going to help me with my relationship to the Father. So you can be religious all you want. Pick whatever one you want. There's a many of them. When we was in Nepal and we realized there's so many gods, we didn't realize there were that many gods. I mean, how many gods can you have? They got about 33 million of them. It's everywhere. Everywhere. The tree is a god, and the leaf is a god, and the ant is a god, and the monkey's a god, and the rat's a god. And you just go on and on. Look, you pick whatever you want. You could be religious, but where does that get you? Or you can have a relationship with God. And the way to have a relationship is through his son. The one who paved the way for all of humanity. How many people did he die for? All the world, the whole world. God gave his only son for the whole world. And that includes you that are here today. You that are here today, it includes you. So, man, you know, I thought I was just going to go to church. You pick going to church today. That's your day. I'm going to go to church. Listen, I'm challenging your life. You got to make a decision. You'll make a decision one way or the other. Before you leave today, you'll make one. You never go in life and be given a position, given a direction. And you look at it and you say, well, I don't know. I don't know is a decision. I can only encourage you today that you choose him. You choose him and your life will never be the same. You'll wake up with purpose. You'll realize you're not just living for the day. You're not just living till you reach retirement. You're not living till you reach the end of your life. You're getting older. You won't just reach till the end of time. You're talking about eternity now. You'll make decisions based on eternity. I never forget this. A long time ago when I was just young in the Lord, I started pastoring just young. And I had somebody tell me this. When you start thinking about decisions in life, he said, you weigh it. This is eternity. You weigh your decisions against eternity. Not how you feel about today, or what's happening in your life right now, the decisions you make is not made on what's going on today. It's based on eternity. That's how you should figure out things in life. Whatever you do, weigh it against eternity. And you'll figure out there's a lot of decisions in our life. We wouldn't make them when it's compared to eternity. We want to make sure we do the right thing and speak the right way. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his Elohim and will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, forever and ever. There will be universal peace, prosperity, and blessings in this kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 1, the word of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of Yahweh's house shall be established. In the top of the mountains shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a time that'll be. All this will fulfill the promises Yahweh made to Abraham, keeping his word perfectly. He promised Abraham the land, and he made that promise, and he keeps it perfectly. In Isaiah, in Genesis 22, verse 15, and the angel of Yahweh called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith Yahweh, for because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. What's the condition? Thou hast obeyed my voice. When you obey God, what was he asking for? The ultimate. He asked a man that waited a long time. Abraham was 75 years old. And the Lord sent an angel and prophesied on his life, said, you're going to have a son. You're going to be your own son. Well, time went on, and they never could have any children. And so he figured He'd do it his own way, and Ishmael was born. And then God said, no, you're going to have your own son. You're going to have a son. And at 100 years old, his wife Sarah became pregnant, and he had his own son. I mean, how good can it get? God had thought it was over for him, now he's got his own son. And then God says, Abraham, give your son back to me. I want you to sacrifice him for real. I want you to take him down, build an altar, put the wood in order, lay him on the sacrifice, and slay your son. Some people would say, man, that's a cruel God. He's cruel. You can call it cruel unless you're God. The one who gives life the first time, he's definitely got enough power to give it again. So God's intent was not to see him lose his son. His intent was to see if he would sacrifice him for me. So Abraham says, okay, let me put this together. I got a promise. And you said it's going to be my son's going to carry this on. Let's see. God, are you really saying this? Okay. Because if I kill him, you got to give him back. Or you can't be a man of your promise. I'm going to do it. And that's when God says, now I see, I know. Now I know you love me. You love me so much that you will be a subject in my kingdom because you will do what the king says regardless if it doesn't make sense to you. He called it faith. Because you know that if you kill that boy, I am obligated because I'm God to raise him back up. You know that, don't you? I know that, God. I know you'll do it because you gave me a promise. So he was willing to trust God. Once it's out of your hands, That life is gone, and God sent the angel and stopped him. He said, now I know. I know you love me. I know that you're perfect for the kingdom. I know you're a man that can be in my kingdom because you give everything for me. You'll do what I request you to do, even when it doesn't make sense. And you know what? If Abraham had to go through it that way, then who do we think we are? We get spoiled. We don't want to give anything up. We don't even want to give our fun up. We don't want to give nobody up. We don't. Matter of fact, I'll take God, but he's got to take me how I like to live. I live the way I want to live. See, it's all about I. It's all about me. It's all about mine. It's what it's all about. When you give your life to God, you say, Lord, it's not mine anymore. You say, well, when did Jesus do that? Remember in the garden? Remember in the garden, he's praying. He's praying so hard. He's praying so hard that it sweats like blood. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass, but not what I want. It don't matter what I want. I know he knew what he had to do. He was going to die. He went through the same thing that Abraham in likeness. Abraham did with Isaac. It's in likeness, but now it's going to be for real. It won't be the angel come and stop. It's going to be for real. That was showing you what's going to happen. Here's the real thing happening. And God himself had to put his son on display. God himself had to watch them take the life out of his own son. Well, let me tell you, if it's God himself, let's not get all upset when God himself comes and shakes that grave and says, okay, boy, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time. Let's go. And it's God himself who raised him far above all. It's God himself that put him at his own right hand. And let me just tell you, Yom Teruah is coming up next week. What's going to bring in Yom Teruah? The trumpet call of God. God himself is going to blow the trumpet and say, okay, go get him. Get them ready. Prep them for the wedding because it's going to happen. The wedding, the coronation of the king. The wedding's going to take place. And then let me tell you, after Yeshua is set up and he's crowned with glory and honor and his every name bows to him and he rules and reigns in his kingdom for 1,000 years, let's not forget at the end of that, God himself is going to come. God himself will come and he will reign forever and ever and ever. Listen, if you want to be a part of that, you can. We just got to quit believing the nonsense the world sells you. We're going to live our life. We all have a good time. Hopefully we saved enough. We can go to retirement. We can go a few vacations, have a nice time. We enjoyed each other. But, you know, we always get in those little parlors. They call them parlors. And we talk about how it was and how nice it was. But let me tell you, there's something that's eerie about those parlors because deep down inside, you can't go back and say, I want one more chat, one more smile, one more phone call. There's no going back. It's kind of this final thing that you walk away. And everybody just, you know, you get in that kind of that state, you know, because you want to respect. But if that was the end, we just wasted 2 hours of our time. We might as well go home, eat, drink, and be merry because we just wasted each other's time. If that's the end, I want to tell you, it's not the end. It's the stepping off place of one time. One age, the Esau age, into the age of Jacob. The age of, you're stepping into a different age. When the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, rules and reigns. We're stepping into something when this mortal shall take on immortality. Do you understand? You're stepping into something that's bigger than what we can control. Sure, you can control your life. You do whatever you want. Or you just want to relax in his presence and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Yeah. You know, sometimes I think that away. I think, am I crazy? Have I lost my mind? Lord, I preached this gospel for a long time, and now I feel like I don't even know it myself. But when I go back and I look at the scripture and I see how wonderful he is, it's absolutely incredible. The Bible is painted picture of what he wants to do with all of humanity. He wants the best for our life. That in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of the heaven, as the sand upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and thy seed shall... And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Who wants to obey his voice? Two more, I think, three more slides, and I'm about to accomplish something here. Galatians 3. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Messiah. So we have the explanation right there in Galatians. Messiah. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Elohim in Messiah, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. This, we still underneath the promise. What's the promise? Thy seed. It's going to happen. And so we have this laid out. For it, if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. What was the law for? We needed it, because how would I know I'm in covetousness if I don't have something that tells me I'm in it? See the need? Got to have it. Is it wrong? No, it's perfect and it's good. You couldn't have wrote it better. It couldn't have been given in any better way. He gave it fair across the board. The law was perfect. But did it exceed the promise? In no way. Do you understand that? The promise was given to Abraham. And so my prayer is that you see that. So we start to see why it is necessary for Messiah to return and introduce the government of Yahweh in the kingdom of Elohim. That's why he's introducing it. So we should, how many times should you preach about the kingdom on Sunday? Probably three times. About three times on Sunday you should be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So I'm pretty sure I did it at least once today. And so here we go. So next time we're here, we're going to be on part two. Part two of the kingdom of Yahweh. And so we're excited about it. There's three parts to it. I think the third part's not as long, but I hope that you got something out of part one. So we're going to go on the next part. We're going to be focused on answering these questions. What and why is what we dealt with. And we're going to keep going through all of this. I thank God for all of you here, every one of you. I appreciate you. My prayer is that you've heard this today and you'd make a decision in your own life. Nobody can make it for you. You got to personally do it. So you take some time with your life and you say, God, I don't know all about you. I don't know everything that is to know, but I do know one thing. I want to live in that kingdom. How do I do it? It's a fair question. And he'll answer you. Promise you he will. He'll answer you. How do you do it? Well, he'll start out by telling you there's only one way. One way to enter the kingdom. You have to do what my son tells you to do. Because he's the first from the dead. Remember that. He's the first from the dead. He called the first fruits. Immortal. Never to die again. What does mortal mean? Can die. Just to simplify it. That's everybody in this room. Don't ever forget that. Because it can really be trouble for you. Can die. For the young people in here, just remember, when you're trying to experience something you've never experienced, always remember what Pastor Jesse said. Can die. When you're trying to experience something that you heard of somebody else experiencing, can die. That'll make you not choose some of the choices. What's immortality? Cannot die. I want to tell you, Messiah is at the right hand of the Father right now, and he stands there immortal, cannot die. And remember I read in Isaiah 11? He comes and he rules with a rod of iron. It's going to be something. And at that time, you'll be changed if you've submitted to the things of God. Can anybody in here survive and make it in our own strength? None of us can. That's why I said to you, I think 2 weeks ago, I said, and you shall receive power after Holy Spirit comes. Power. You got to have power to understand the kingdom principles. And you can have it. Every person in here. He doesn't distinguish. He doesn't say, well, you can, you can't. Every person. Remember, he fairly does it. And so if you want it today, you can have it. Simple question. Lord, you ask him, I want to live in your kingdom. What do I need to do? You submit your life to him. Be a subject to the king and be proud of it. Don't be ashamed. He said, if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us before his Father. We don't want to be ashamed of him. We want to take his hand and let him guide us through life. That's what he wants to do. We used to sing a song when I was a kid. We sang it a few times after. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Remember that? You know where we sang that at? Funerals. It's kind of late. I want him to do it. I want to sing it now. That's a right now song. Especially after I just preached. Take my hand, Lord. Lead me where I need to be. I don't want him to, listen, we sing that song a little late. They all sound good. We think they fit the mood. But man. What about right now? How many want him to take your hand right now? That's what I want. I want him to take, if you let him take your hand, he'll lead you into the kingdom. Yes, amen. On our best day, we can't get there. We can't. But let him lead us. And sometimes, you ever felt that? That sometimes your hand slips out of the master's hand and you start to sink. Yes. Yes. You're going down, you don't know what to do. You know what it is? He reaches and gets you again. Yes. Yes. He has grace. His mercy is there to help you through it all. Nobody in this building is perfect. Nor should we profess being perfect. We've had times we slipped and we fall. And we come short of the glory of God. And these things happen in our life. That's what happens. The Bible says if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And that's the one thing you got to have is an advocate with the Father. Somebody's got to speak on your behalf. And that's his only son. He stands right at his right hand. There's nobody can get closer to God for you except for him. Nobody can be closer to God for you except for him. You have an advocate with the Father. Now watch the rest of it. He, Yeshua, is faithful and just to do what? Forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what he does. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. So I want to encourage everybody in here. Ask him, what can I do to make it in this kingdom? And I want to be there. And when he reaches out and he says, take my hand, you reach out and take his hand and let him lead you, because that's what he does good. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's stand together.